Hello and welcome to another episode of the Never a Straight Answer podcast, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm your host Gaz, and joining me in the studio, well, it's said he once time travelled to the Wild Wild West and challenged Billy the Kid to a game of poker, and he won using a deck of Uno. Yeah, and all I know is he's my co-host, he's Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, good evening everybody, welcome.
Welcome indeed. Yeah, I bet he didn't even know what they were. It's like, what are these? It's like, you know, brightly coloured cards you're putting at me. It's like, oh, no wonder you won. You just baffled him.
Well, anyway. Yeah, and then he went and shot up the sheriff.
Big news, everyone.
Yeah, big news.
Big news. The Never a Straight Answer podcast is 5 years old.
It is indeed. 5 years.
Hey, five fucking whole long years.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, we've
probably made £5 in the whole anyway, doesn't matter to me. I quite like it. It's our fifth birthday this week, so thank you to everybody. To everybody who's got involved over the the 5 years. Every guest that's been on, everybody who's downloaded an episode or told a friend about it, really appreciate it.
We certainly do.
And, but you know, thank you and welcome to the show, as usual.
Yeah, and if you're a new one, another 5 years, hopefully, we'll be here.
Exactly, and if you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. And if you're a repeat offender...
Yeah, keep repeating.
Well, there you go. Thanks, we've got a brilliant episode.
We are.
Now, with it being the 5 years since we started the podcast all those years ago using my phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember the days.
We decided we'd probably go back and look at one of the first topics that we ever covered.
Yes.
Now, we did listen to the episode back, and it was kind of, we didn't really go that deep into it.
No, we were going into it, all kinds of areas.
Oh, we were skirting about travel in general, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Tonight is a time travel episode. I love a time travel episode. What a great 5-year birthday surprise for me. To get a bit of time travelling. Tonight we're going to be talking about the fascinating case of Andrew Bishago and the top secret Project Pegasus.
Yeah.
It's a time travel teleportation jump room programme, apparently funded by Black Budget. Wild claims made by Andrew Bishago, or were they just the imaginings of a sci-fi nerd?
We're going to speculate and work everything out, hopefully.
All those types of agate words. We're going to do them all.
Yes.
That's coming up very shortly in the show. But firstly, what have you been up to this week, Taylor?
Got my car back.
Hooray!
Yeah, I can't wait. I've been waiting years for this.
That car has been on your drive for, like, a long time, I've got to admit.
About a year and a half.
A year and a half.
But got in the garage, got it all sorted out. I've just got to sort out the insurance tomorrow, and I'm rolling.
Well done. Well, that's nice. That's a nice little birthday surprise for you as well, isn't it?
It is. Yourself, what have you been up to?
I've had a pretty busy week. Just been doing this and that, really. But I've got some shout-outs.
Oh, he has.
You have some shout-outs for subscriber shout-outs. For everybody who's subscribed over on TikTok, big thank you for the support. Big shout-out to Holly. Big shout-out to Josh.
Go, Josh.
Kat. Jesse G.
Jesse.
Oliver. Yeah. Big shout-out to Jack. Elvis. Joe. John. Ryan. Ben R. Benjamin. And Naz. Thank you all for subscribing over on TikTok. I really appreciate that. Really nice surprise that we get that many subscribers on. It's quite cool.
Keep it coming.
So I've had a pretty busy week. So with one thing or another, weather's been absolutely terrible for summer.
But then
we had 2 days of really nice sunshine and bit of lightning and thunder again.
Well, next weekend's supposed to be really nice.
Really, is it?
Yeah, we're supposed to be getting into like the 40s again.
Are we?
Yeah. Probably for about 2 days.
Well,
or 2 hours, one or the other.
I mean, talking about what we've been up to this week, we should be talking about what we've been up to for the past 5 years, because, we've literally been doing this show now for, like, 5 years. We've done quite a lot, haven't we? We've had tons and tons and tons of guests on.
Yes.
We've participated in Superpod.
Yes, that's true.
Which was for Comic Relief.
Yes.
What else did we do? We're going to be the first podcast on Mars.
Yeah, that's true. Because we signed up to send
our names individually and the podcast name up to Mars on a Mars mission. So that's coming up in the future.
Yeah,
so you know what I mean? I feel like we've accomplished a lot.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
100,000 downloads.
Yes, that's it. You know what I mean? Mega. It's like we're loving it. Well, loving it. We're just loving it like that.
Well. Well, it's great. We do appreciate it. What was I going to say? I've got a riddle for you, sir.
Oh, riddle.
Before we get into all the Andrew Bashago stuff, which is coming up very shortly, don't you worry.
Oh, no.
But each week, me and Taylor challenge each other to a battle of the minds, if you will. Battle of wills and the battle
like
of the minds.
Slaughter of the minds.
At the moment, Taylor's getting absolutely whooped.
Yeah, I'll get whitewashed.
4-0, yeah. I do believe. Right, yeah. Well, here's your chance to redeem yourself and actually get a point on the board this time, this week.
It's going to get me knees one, isn't it?
Well, your riddle this week is, I can fly without wings. Cry without eyes. Wherever I go, darkness follows me. What am I? So I'll give you it again. I can fly without wings, cry without eyes. Wherever I go, darkness follows me. What am I?
Cloud or moon?
He got it right.
He got one right.
Oh my God, my Taylor. Great. It is must be your birthday.
Celebration.
Well done. I didn't even have to help you in any way. I'm absolutely gobsmacked, Taylor. I'm actually clapping.
I'm a hero. Taylor, what can I say?
Well done.
I signed the treaty.
That was really quick. I thought we were going to be like, I was prepared to wait up until like news to give the answer, but you got that really quick. Well done.
Well, it actually come to two things. It was either the moon, that was the first one, but then it was like, then straight away it was hold on, cloud.
Well, you got it right. Yeah. Well done. Nice. I'll just take this opportunity, though, while you're reveling in your...
Glory.
In your glory of getting a point.
Yeah, let's put that point down.
This week's episode's brought to you by our sponsor, Hive Mind Clothing, a Manchester-based clothing line that has some really excellent designs. Use eco-friendly materials and plant trees. Have free postage, I believe. Check them out. Yeah, they've got some really nice, cool designs. T-shirts, really, aren't they? Festival wear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Good for the environment as well.
Everything's good for the environment these days. Like Kit Kat.
Kit Kat?
Yeah, have you not seen Kit Kats, right? No. I must have talked about this quickly. I'm going to go into this because it's a bit pet peeve for me at the minute.
Okay.
Right, so Kit Kat have rebranded. Yeah, right. The Kit Kat, remember how a Kit Kat used to come?
Yeah.
How did it come?
Two fingers or four?
No, yeah. I mean, not proportionally. Like, I mean, the wrapper.
Wrapper? Yeah. It'd come in like tinfoil and paper. Got a paper around it.
Yeah. Well, like, I always thought those were two highly recyclable materials.
Oh,
yeah, right.
And it's not.
Well, no, they must be. They are. Yeah, right. But at the end of the day, yeah, what they've done now is they've put the plastic wrapper on it.
What?
And they go, don't worry, because it's 100% recyclable. And they've put it all over. It takes 50% of the packaging up, just that claim, right?
Okay.
But if you're lazy and you put stuff in the general waste, then it's just going in the landfill, which means there's actually more going in the landfill with Kit Kat written on it. So if it was paper, it would have just biodegraded or be used as mulch or whatever. Yeah, but now it's plastic going back into potentially general waste, which I feel like companies are jumping on the we recycle using some sort of we're ecological or we've got morals and all this
to try and sell more product.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's like you're not actually doing it.
No.
You kind of changed your practices just to kind of jump on a bandwagon when you've actually made the problem worse.
Exactly, because 90% of what you
I always
in
thought
the
paper
recycle.
Was widely recyclable and tin.
Yeah.
Never mind, you know what I mean? But
a
lot
of it isn't.
Anyway, I do rant on.
A lot of it, but actually people down south, there is a city that's looking at charging people for not splitting their waste into,
Oh, right, so you get a fine if you don't do the recycling rip.
People walk past a lot of bins, and if they've had a drink, they want to throw it in the bin, and there's no bins around. Your bin seems to be on the side because, you pick up.
Oh, I've done that though.
I've done that.
Everyone's done that.
Even
cats have done that. You see a bin, you throw it in the bin, don't you?
That cat woman did that. She was.
She threw a cat in the bin. Yeah. That was disgusting.
Yeah.
As an animal.
Well, you'll
person.
Get fined for that.
If you should definitely get a fine for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's jail time, I think.
Well, whatever bin you put in that cat in, it's a wrong bin, isn't it?
Yeah,
There's no cat bin.
Unless it's a cat bin, yeah.
Oh, excuse me, madam. I'm assuming that you've you were supposed to put it in the pet waste disposal bin there, but you've totally missed it.
You've
put that in general waste.
But, yeah, they're looking at charging people, so some people are going to get a bit pissed off, I'd say, if someone's walked past them from the wrong item in the wrong bin, because you're going to get fined for it.
What a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. With this week's show, right, we haven't really got an interesting show coming up. But firstly, if you like to check out the website at neverastraightanswer.co.uk, we post blogs every week or so.
Yep.
And there's loads of downloadable content over there and plenty of stuff to do.
Tons of stuff.
You can contact us via the website as well.
Yeah.
If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, if you've not already, you can check it out over on Spotify, iTunes, pretty much wherever you get your podcast, really.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
There you go. We're like COVID,
we're everywhere.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We're nicer than COVID.
Oh, we're nicer than COVID, but we're like that, you know,
spreading, getting about,
spreading around.
Well, right, this week's topic, we're going to be talking about Andrew Bishago, the time traveling, what would you call him, chrononaut?
Lawyer?
He says it, well, he's his own words, he says he's a chrononaut, right?
Yeah.
So, guys, get ready to have your mind blown, because this is one of the stories that is going to take you pretty much on a mental journey through, you know, time, history.
Yeah, you might not even get it.
And some serious jaw-dropping claims.
Yeah.
Meet Andrew Bishago. So, this guy, being a time traveller, obviously, like, you know,
so-called.
As you are, as you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to get serious. Do you know what I mean?
Got to be serious.
It's going to.
Right,
so Andrew's born September 18th, 1961, in Morristown, New Jersey, right? He seems like a seemingly ordinary kind of kid, yeah? Andrew's, that's how he'd kind of describe himself, right, in his early years, right?
Yeah.
But if you fast forward to, like, the groovy 1960s or the disco-loving 70s, Bishago's, like, kind of starts dropping these bombshells, like, so he's the back end of the 60s and the early 70s. He starts dropping these bombshells about, you know, time travel and all this stuff sounds really, really sci-fi.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he's basically turned around and said that he worked for this top secret program, right? A super secret government gig called Project Pegasus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what we know about Project Pegasus is basically this. Yeah, there's not really much other information out that I could find about a project.
No.
Like it.
Yeah.
So there's only ever been him who's came out and said this program existed, as far as I know?
There was Prince Edward brought out something called the Project. So you can't, don't get confused, because that's for kids, actually, to actually.
So it was a totally different Project Pegasus.
There was another
Project Pegasus. Well, this is what I'm saying. It's not
out there.
There's nobody else come out and said, well, we were involved in this project too, we can totally back up Andrew Bishago.
I don't believe.
Well, as far as I could see, I couldn't find anything. But he believed he worked for this top secret government program, Project Pegasus. And what Project Pegasus was all about, well, brace yourself, because it was basically time travel and teleportation, right? Yeah, that's right. You heard me right. But I mean, who needs a DeLorean?
Well, yeah.
When you've got when you've got a Bishago and his project. Well, in terms of time travel, he basically said that we did it all the time.
He was
basically brought in as a child, right? Yeah,
because his own father, yeah.
Yeah, his father brought him in on the project. Who his father had been basically working on this project for a number of years.
Yeah,
and done a load of. He was a chrononaut. This is the name that they gave him, like these time traveling, not astronauts, but chrononauts, right? So he'd been doing it, his dad, and he worked for the program. I'm assuming he was a physicist or something like that. Yeah.
He was one of them who went and actually did some of the travelling.
Oh, right, so he was actually one of the agents, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he was, wasn't he? Because he actually talked about that, Andrew. So there is a, coming up in the story, there's an actual bit we're going to talk about. But, you know, obviously, It's a bit kind of far out already. Yeah, but I like time travel, so we're going to go with it.
It was brought in around about six, but this programme was from a roughly about... Other kids were brought in, but the ages were roughly between 7 and 12. Now,
the reason why that was because apparently it was taking a toll on the adult's mind.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So doing
bringing
this...
Bringing a fresh mind.
So they needed kind of like... I think it was more kind of...
Development still.
Well, yeah, it's in development, but it was more kind of open to the kind of concepts and all the rest of it, the twisting of your mind going through this sort of process, I suppose. Right, so he's then turning around and saying, we're going to recruit like basically a crew of gifted kids. Yeah, right. They kind of get brought in and they're like trained up as chrononauts because... obviously you don't need astronauts. You need these are time traveling heroes, chrononauts. Do you know what I mean?
Oh wow!
So this is kind of like mind bending. So having a young, malleable mind was really kind of appropriate for them. They reckon, and that's what Andrew says. These are Andrew's claims.
Yeah.
So imagine being there, the coolest kid there, man. Like, yeah, man, I go to time traveling and all this. Yeah, I'm like Martin McFly.
I've been here and there.
That's why I think he thinks he is Marty McFly. So he claims that obviously that he's part of this project. So he goes on to say that, you know, part of the experience meant that he was sent on different missions to try and kind of alter things, right? To a bit kind of quantum leap. So he's like going back to make right what once went wrong or whatever. But to me, that's changing the timeline. Now, there's a lot of kind of people who go on about Mandela effect and stuff like that, and how they believe that we're in somehow a different parallel universe potentially or something like that. One thing I was reading about it was about energies and vibrations and how we were on this sort of vibration, like a low vibration, and now we're suddenly in a higher vibration. Which means that we're potentially shifted, which is kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
True, but
now a lot of people think that's down to CERN.
Very much so.
But Andrew claims that they were going back in time and altering the altering the past.
Yeah,
no end. Yeah.
Well, to the point where stuff that you don't really know about.
Says that he tried to save Lincoln a number of times, but it starts getting difficult when you've done it.
Yeah, but he also got sent back a number of times. But what he reckons was to watch other kids watch it to see what their reaction was like as well. So because he'd been doing it for a while, I suppose a couple of his last missions was like going back to the same place. But just watching someone else who got sent there to actually watch and see the experience to see what their reaction would have been. So it's like test subjects on another test subject, you know what I mean?
Well, basically, right, so he's being sent all over the place, right? Yeah. But he basically gets asked to do this mission, right? Yeah. He's been on plenty of missions. He says he's like, you know, it's kind of like you have to take a different path. Yeah, every time, because you can't kind of risk bumping into yourself, I suppose. If you're trying to repeat a mission or whatever. But he reckons that there was one instance where he actually bumped into his father,
who used to do it,
right? So since retired missioning, now Andrew's going out there as a young lad.
Representing.
So he's gone back to the Gettysburg Address, the Lincoln speech. He's basically said like, I'm going to check this out or whatever. I don't know why he was actually sent there, but like he reckons that's where he was sent on this mission.
Yeah, because I suppose it's one of the
and
most
while he was there, bumps into his father, who's also there, but from a previous time. Yeah.
Yes.
So he's there from years ago, travelled back to the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
I think he said he just wanted to see it. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he said he arrived there and he basically like, he had no shoes on. Why did he have no shoes? He had no shoes on.
He had big shoes.
Somebody gave those shoes to him. So basically, he was heading back down to where the stage was, where Lincoln was giving the address.
Yeah, definitely.
And he said that he basically was like, muddy and kind of like where he'd landed in the field.
Yeah,
like,
he was just a bit of a mess.
Yeah. So somebody had basically kind of like looked after him, give him some shoes. Like so like some clothes to wear and and these really big shoes.
Yeah.
Right. So he's gone clobbering off, and that's one of his biggest evidence. He says that I was in the Gettysburg Address. Right. I can prove it because there's a photograph of me there.
Yes.
Yeah. So. He claims that this photograph of the Gettysburg Address is him. He's in the photograph. And he'll go point to a kid and say, that's me when I time travelled.
I've never seen any
photographs of Andrew Bishargo as a child to kind of corroborate if this kid even looked like him or not.
That's very true.
Because, you know, you'd think if they might, you know, if the Andrew Bishargo was like, you know, I mean, he must have kind of thought, well, like, I could probably get away with that.
Yeah.
He might look a little bit like him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. But basically, he said he was studying Gettysburg and he's bumped into his father.
Yeah.
And his father was like, nope, don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, didn't...
Don't know, yeah.
Well, basically didn't know what he was talking about. But when he came back, he was brought... He brought, obviously, like a little souvenir, a flyer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gave it to his dad.
Yeah.
And he was like...
And his dad actually turned around to him and said that he knew he was going to do that project as soon as he seen that photograph. He knew exactly.
Well, when he met him.
Well, yeah, but
well, he bumped into him. So no, like, think about it, right? Yeah, he knows who he is, but he's not allowed to say he knows who he is because he's on a time travel mission, right? But then B, his son's still in an infant. Yeah, at that point, to dad. In the Gettysburg Address, his son is at home drinking his bottle, right? Yeah.
It could have been even younger, though, not even been there yet.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, he was. He knew he had a son back at home, yeah?
Yeah.
But this son was an infant, yeah? So he's gone to the Gettysburg, the field, he's there doing whatever he's doing there. And suddenly this lad's come over and gone, Dad, yeah? And he's gone, what? I'm not your dad. And he's gone, no, you are. Like, and I work with you on this. So he's like, no, I can't talk to you. And bailed, right? And this is what he said, Andrew.
He
says that he's bailed. And then he's basically come back and his dad's gone, did you have a nice time at Gettysburg?
Yeah.
And he's given him a flyer and he's like, how did you know? And he just said, well, obviously, I've known since you were in diapers.
Yeah.
Like, because I seen you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you came and spoke to me. Like, you know what happened? You've just done it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of thing. So these claims are really, really bold, bombshell bold for Andrew Bishargo.
He's had 40 years of, like, research of it when he's come out of as well. Because it didn't start hitting him until he was 35, 36 then.
It's funny that, isn't it?
It started coming out because any younger, he didn't remember any of this. But then all of a sudden... at this age he's come up, but that might be one of the traits of it. But then, like you said, no one else has really come out at the side.
So the Gettysburg Address was 1863.
Yeah
and obviously these guys are saying they've traveled all over the place. So I mean, if they were doing this thing in the 60s, where's that technology now? And how far have they progressed with it? If Project Pegasus is actually still a thing,
and is that what's fucking up like the space and time around us?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is it. Maybe it's not even called Project Pegasus anymore. Maybe it is like... But having this jump room program... Yeah. Now, wait, we're not even finished.
No.
Yeah, right? Because the claims go even further, right? So basically, here we go, right? One of the claims that he made was that he was going to be the president of the United States.
True. Yeah?
So he basically that whilst hopping through timelines and checking out different timelines and different points in time in history, he got a glimpse of his own future where he was actually president of the United States. I'm not even joking because, you know, I mean, he did actually end up putting his name in for president.
Yeah, he put his hand in there.
When was it? 2016,
yeah, I believe.
For the 2016 elections, if you look at who registered for the campaigns, Andrew Bishargo is actually registered.
Yeah.
You know, so he did register, but he never actually ran.
Was he threatened?
Yeah, maybe he was threatened, but, I mean, if he's glimpsed his own future in, then he doesn't run.
Yeah.
Isn't that changing the timeline? Again, like, maybe the time variant authorities have been on him and pruned him. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's a big possibility that if we have discovered time travel anywhere along the lines, we have fucked something up.
You can imagine his campaign slogan, can't you? Yeah. Oh, Bashago, because time waits for no one. There we go. Yeah. Bashago, he's an interesting guy. But yeah, we're still not finished.
Nope.
Mate, the man's making claims out of the everywhere. Bold claims. Right. Yeah. So, just when you thought things couldn't even get any crazier, Bashago then comes out with another bombshell. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we mentioned earlier that Andrew Bashago working on Project Pegasus.
Yeah.
Was working with a group of ragtag little kind of 21 Jump Street battalion type dudes.
Yeah.
To quote Hot Tub Time Machine. Mm-hmm. But who do you reckon was in his team? Gotta have a good crew, haven't you, really? Yeah. If you're gonna go out time traveling.
Best of the best, really.
Yeah. Not, you know, these guys are gifted kids, right? Yeah, they've all been selected.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons.
Yeah, and don't forget, this guy was in Mensa as well.
What?
This guy was in Mensa as well.
Oh, was he in Mensa as well? Oh, well, yes.
So
he was on
one of the top, you know, lines of intelligence.
Well, maybe this is it. He's playing us all. We'll go into that in a minute. Well, he claims that one of the people, or one of the young people working on the project, was none other than...
Oh.
Brace yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Right,
that's the fellow.
So Barack Obama, the non-American president, where's he from? Hawaii?
Yeah, no, where was it? Nigeria or something? I can't remember. Nah,
I don't know. Did he? I don't know. I thought he was from America. Anyway, it doesn't really matter, does it? At this point, Bashago claims that Barack Obama was actually part of the time traveling posse.
That's true. Yeah, and he did come president.
When he did, so, didn't he? Yeah.
Could there have been in a little bit of time, the time had changed because, I don't know, the ones who are controlling it realized he's going to be president and he might actually expose it.
Maybe it was the fact that he whistleblew. Yeah. He started talking and blabbing about what he saw and then the fact that he was destined to be president. But
he's been blabbing to two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe that was the case.
Could be.
Because who did Obama win in the 2016 election?
What? That was Trump, wasn't it?
Was it Trump?
Yeah, it was Trump then.
Well, that was a bit of an outsider as well, wasn't it? Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Young Obama was rubbing shoulders with Bashago in time streams all over the place there. So
he's got some stories.
Even future presidents need a little adventure in the youth, do you know what I mean? But apparently, yeah, it's not only that. I mean, it wasn't just all about time travel.
No.
Because apparently... One of his other claims is that they teleported, because that's it wasn't just a time traveling project, it was a teleportation as well.
Yeah, and it was a kind of shimmy kind of machine as well. You had two discs on each side, and then in between there was like a shimmering kind of, you know, wave in front, which they call it radiant energy. Is actually what Tesla had actually named this kind of shimmery thing. And to get in and go somewhere, you had to walk just towards it.
So how do you think where I want to go and go? Well, because they claim that they actually went to Mars.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
him and Obama strutted around on the Martian service.
Yeah, gave a bit of a clean up.
Had a look around and then came home. That was it. That was the only mission. And then there was apparently a load of... he even went as far as saying that because he's a bit psychic, Andrew Bashago.
Yeah, because a bit of MK Ultra was slightly involved in this in the early years of dealing with this.
Wasn't there a big thing about him being able to, astro travel as well?
Yeah.
He was kind of viewing the Martian surface.
Yeah.
And he says that he can. I think he was saying that there's something about maybe the fact that he'd been there and had this link that he was able to kind of see it.
I think his story was that he could see a million years in the past, and that he had spotted that there was aliens under the ground, alien cities, and they actually seen him. they actually noticed that he was looking at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a kind of a bit of a freaky thing as well, because that just goes sort of into the spirit area as well, and your soul and stuff. You know what I mean? That there's a lot of power within that kind of energy, but we still don't know how to tap into it, or you know how to influence. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, like before you all start traveling, you know, planning your time travel excursions and adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, let's slow down for a moment, because Bishago's claims did raise more than a few eyebrows among experts. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, the only bit of solid evidence that was backing up any of his tales was the photo that he was waving around.
Yeah.
But obviously, and no solid evidence to speak of. You know, this is all he had to kind of prove that he had any time travel exploits.
Would you actually say that isn't solid evidence in a way?
Well, not necessarily, because everybody and their aunties examined the photo more than closely.
Yeah, yeah.
More than a CSI crime scene, I should imagine, because like I say, I mean, we were saying a bit earlier, do you reckon people have? But yeah, they must have over the years. I mean, the things that people do when they've got a bit of time on their hands,
well, and yeah, that's
they're
true,
a bit interested, is definitely, you know, on the cards there. But like, you know, you're left with it is a jaw-dropping saga of Andrew Bishago, you know, with whatever you think about it, because he makes all these claims and he's not shy about it. He will 100% say, I was part of this program. I was brought in as a child because I was a gifted child.
Yep.
I time traveled to multiple places and multiple times, you know,
with the president as well.
I'm interested to know, because like the way John Teeter explained it, he claimed to be in a military program that was a time traveling program, and he was sent back, right? But the way he kind of explained it was that when he does actually return to the future, it's not the future he left, because subtle variations and things
change, will kind of
alter it, and then you've got an extra kind of parallel universe, if you like, or so you're becoming like a multiverse, if you like.
Which they worked out in 1971, by the way.
Totally. I mean, you see it in Back to the Future. You do see it in Back to the Future, where you've got Marty McFly. He's got geeky parents and a embarrassing dad and all the rest of it. He time travels once, one punch changes everything, and that is that's a different reality to what he left. Yeah, so imagine if you travel back in time a lot, and you're on a government program, let's not forget.
Yeah,
so you've got government generals, you've got kind of people making decisions, you've got you know, strategists and all the rest of it, analyzing data, looking at all the variables to say, right, what needs to be changed in order to get the result we require. Yeah.
Well, ultimate is so they want to know what's going to happen so they can be prepared for it.
Well, not necessarily, because we already know what happened in the past, is what I'm getting at. If you're looking at the future, we're trying to kind of get information so we're prepared for it. But in terms of molding the present into something more that's you-centric, you're the government here, or you're this secret organization, and you've got the power to change things, Now, I don't think they're using it responsibly or wisely, I feel like they're going, well, it's wisely in our interest, so what we need to do is, that's what I'm saying, they'll have teams of analysts all working on it, computers analysing the data to know what specific thing in time that needs changing that means the NASDAQ goes up, or Wall Street never crashes, or something like that. You know what I mean? And I feel like if you change enough of these things, little variables, and just enough that something changes subtly, not many people will notice. Do you know what I mean?
It could also be the actual fact that they found that, and what they are doing is actually what changed it into our doomsday, instead of leaving it alone,
like I say,
and letting it pass
at the end of the
and
day,
don't use it.
I'm just going off what he's claiming.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So Andrew, like I say, Andrew Bishago had a lot of jaw-dropping claims. But it was a wild ride through time. The guy's kind of like You know, he's full of family reunions and all sorts. You know what I mean?
He's not like he's like.
It's
know,
funny because a bit of background on him, he's kind of a, like a well-to-do guy. He's quite. He's like obviously he looks a bit of a politician. Like, he is a lawyer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. He kind of seems like
he's
a very educated
to the
man.
Point and all that, and he's not like, you know.
It's funny though because you can present yourself in that sort of way. I mean,
well,
at the end
being
of the
a
day,
lawyer,
right,
I suppose he has to.
So, say you wanted to try pull a fast one, right? Yeah, you'd try and present yourself in the most sort of like
innocent way that.
Well, kind of like not innocent way, but like in the sort of way that you'd like that you'd be like, oh well, I actually. We talk about this, about UFO sightings and stuff like that, about how when people see UFOs, it's always a bit more credible when it's seen by a high-ranking official or a policeman or somebody who's in a... Oh, well, he was obviously wasn't drinking because he was on duty, and he's got a badge number so he can put that in an official report, whatever exactly what he saw. Whereas you've got an average person on the street, then it's just kind of like, oh, well, who are you telling?
Well, that's what the papers were supposed to be there for, the news, so they could actually, you know, go out and actually investigate.
But the fact that nobody else has come forward and corroborated Andrew Bishago's claims is kind of still a bit sketchy.
Well,
I do feel like...
A lot of his claims, though, the information that he's either he's gathered himself from the government and stuff like that, are actually proving quite a lot of what he was saying, like the destination of... at certain air bases and stuff that have been going on, he's actually got the information to say, well, this is proof that this delivered at this time, at this date, and stuff like that. So there is a little bit there, but it's the case of it's still one of them things that it's way out there. People can't grasp that these kind of things could happen or would happen, you know what I mean? It's still in that where UFO was basically a couple of years ago. It's still in that trying to grab that.
The other Project Pegasus that you were talking about was actually a £634 million project within the largest nuclear warhead capability. It was actually a project that was paused in 2014 or early 2015 due to mismanagement and delays. So, I don't even know if that's still going ahead, but obviously it cost them fucking millions.
Oh, yeah. Now
just for a big rocket. Do you know what I mean?
Billions now.
But, yeah, I feel like I'm really interested in the... I'm always really interested in the means of time travel when we come up with these stories. So obviously Andrew Bishago, he's trying to say that they had this whole kind of like a jump room, which that's quite interesting to me because it kind of makes my mind kind of wonder what this thing is.
Yeah.
And like with the shimmer, like this idea that you're creating sort of a rift or a portal to... I just don't understand how they program that, or is it just a close your eyes and wish to where you want to go?
Hey, it might be, but he said when he went in, it was like dying.
To a world of pure imagination.
It was like how people say how you die, like, you know, you see the light, but he was going like, the light was passing him, but it was slow like clouds.
Oh, right, okay.
And then you hit a point, and that's it, you're there.
Wow. Crazy stuff.
It is crazy stuff, but people go out and have a little look yourself.
Go
and
check it out. There's plenty of videos on YouTube.
Himself speaking out.
Totally, yeah. Andrew Bishago will tell you from the horse's mouth what he went through. I think it sounds like a sci-fi movie or a very good novel. The fact that, maybe, because he's trying to ground it in real life, which is a bit kind of thingy. This is what makes it, like, obviously, people have their doubts. But the fact that it's gone from, you know, he was a gifted child, he's been recruited to this project, he's done all this time travelling, the fact that Obama was his pal and he did it as well.
Well, we all know there was something wrong with Obama.
Then you've got the fact that he kind of bumps into his dad, all this stuff.
Yeah.
It goes from one wild claim to another. It's almost like when you're telling the story of the guy, do you want to hear the most amazing coincidence or the most amazing story you'll ever hear?
Yeah.
And then somebody comes up with an even, you think that's amazing, and then drops a bigger better story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like the ultimate, like, no way. You take, I don't believe you as well. Oh, and Obama is, all right, yeah, all right, Andrew.
Yeah, true.
Cheers, Andrew.
In a kind of way, yeah, but I've got, I kind of can't keep it as just this story. I've also got, well, you know, because of other stories and other kinds of evidence to state that, you know what, you're talking right about.
So do you think we also need do we also need disclosure on time travel equipment? You know, if the governments are harboring portals of some description
never
or time
let it
travel
go, whatever.
Time travel technology, that we need disclosure on this as well, because obviously, like, Andrew Bishago should be protesting, like, what's his face?
Yeah.
You know, David Grish.
Yeah.
Coming to Congress going, I demand that you tell everybody about the jump room, because at the end of the day, if he believes that that actually happened and he, you know, there's a, you know, there is actual evidence out there, then why doesn't he do that?
I'll tell you what.
He needs to do that.
It is, it is one of the buildings, one of the sites in the 145 sites that I have to bring the information out within 5 months. And if they don't, Stephen Greer will take them to court, and then they will be forced on all
the
information coming out.
So do you think
out.
A lot of these sites that are, you know, we're gonna we're gonna find out a lot of stuff that we didn't.
Things are getting moved now.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they are. Yeah,
moved,
yeah,
or destroyed, whatever,
but
it is.
It's like,
but they've got a rail,
know,
system underneath, so they can move it in, like.
Well, this is the thing. This
days.
Is again. This is, we go back to the very beginning again of the very first podcast when I was talking about this, because this, I think this is how you got brought up, because when people were hearing those booms, the big booms in the States, I was like, sounds like drilling to me.
Yeah.
The tunneling under your farm
and
there
in
Nebraska.
On. Last month
wherever.
It was going on. There was quite a number of them days after.
Well, there you go. I mean, obviously, he made bold claims. He said he was going to be the president.
He
might have been in another timeline. Yeah, totally. I'm not disputing that.
Yeah. But, and that's possibly what he's seen.
The fact that he did run, back. I'm not sure if that was just spurred on by the story, because, like, he
could
said, oh, no, I've seen it. I'm going to be the president. I already know. I've seen it in a timeline.
Yeah, it's worth a try. You know, I might get a few votes because I'm a bit more of a kind of little celebrity around here at the minute.
Well, we'll end it by saying whether you're a true believer or you're a doubting Thomas, I feel like Bishago's story is a roller coaster that leaves you questioning reality long after the ride. It's an interesting one. I wouldn't say it's convincing.
He's quite convincing on the way he brings it across.
Okay, well, if you're interested in finding out more, you can give Andrew Bishago a Google and see what you
certainly
can find.
Can.
There's plenty of
he's got
bits
a book
and
out
pieces
well.
Out there. Oh, he has got a book out, hasn't he?
He has.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, whatever you thought of that, I thought that was quite interesting anyway. Going back to our second episode, I think that touch on it in that second episode.
Yeah.
Andrew Bishago and his crazy time traveling adventures. Well, we've got more coming up in the show.
Indeedy.
Because right now, it's the news.
Yeah.
It's the news.
We've
looked all over the World Wide Web to find you the most out there news, and I'm telling you, we've got bear of it. And when I say we've got bear of it, I mean we've got bear of it. We've got bear news coming out.
Bear
news. Well, first news story I've got comes out of California.
Oh,
this is. I mean, I don't know. This is obviously it's an odd story. This is about a man who was breaking into people's homes.
All right.
Yeah. And rubbing women's feet while they slept.
Oh, freaky, man.
That is a bit freaky, isn't it?
He could have set that up as a business quite easily.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people out there who need a good foot rub.
Yeah. After work, come around the house, you know.
Oh, mate,
give you a fiver and rub my feet.
Get
your jollies.
My plates of meat are hurting.
Yeah,
I need
Was it just his hands he was using? No, that's
don't
the
know.
Thing. Yeah,
oh,
he might have gone a bit.
Oh, God, you had to go there.
Well,
didn't
no,
you
know, he well, didn't express any tactics.
You bang on, though. He could have totally set up that as a kind of like a side hustle or something. The California man currently behind bars after he broke into a few residences in Nevada.
No, that's not right.
Fondling women's feet while they slept, officers said. The 26-year-old Mark Anthony Gonzalez from Altwater, California, allegedly broke into the condos on the 1st and the 3rd of July, so he's done it multiple times, positioned himself at the foot of the victim's bed, and then had a fondle of the feet. Now, I'm not, obviously I'm laughing because it's kind of a bit of a weird one, but obviously the people who were involved felt violated, obviously someone's crept into the home.
Which is a fact, it's true,
I mean, they've gone into the home straight away. I'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, baseball bat.
Obviously. Yeah. If not worse, it's America.
Well, yeah, you get shot.
You get shot.
Yeah.
According to the release, he was also a suspect in numerous other crimes.
Oh, right.
So he was a wanted criminal. But do you know what? Including the theft of women's shoes.
Right.
So he obviously had
a foot fetish,
didn't he?
Yeah, he definitely had
Gonzalez was held at the court with bail set for $50,000.
When he stood there in his pink stilettos.
In his woo-woo.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the guy liked his shoes.
Hey, people
like,
got kinky shit, man.
Jimmy,
you know what
Choo's.
I mean? Everyone's different, you know what I mean? But he shouldn't have violated the
he's definitely not going into people's houses.
See, he lost a business right there and then.
He's only literally could have totally made a business out of that. Rubbing feet.
Get
and,
his mates
know.
Who are into it as well, you know. Right, we've got a bigger business now. You know what I mean? Sort yourself out. Sweet.
Well, going back to staying in California.
Yeah.
Right, this is California Wines. Not the actual, we've got, because we've got an off license in the UK called California Wines,
that's
haven't
right,
we?
Yeah.
Not them.
Yeah. No.
This is a California based wine company that
Shopper
had 2,000 bottles seized.
Oh.
Yeah. Check what they were getting. Why do you think they were seized?
Tax evasion or something?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, right.
It was more to do with the actual.
Drugs.
No drugs.
Oh, right. So not muling. Oh, right.
More to do with the wine process. Yeah, right. The fermenting of the wine.
What,
so
a bit too much, was it?
No, I'm going to tell you now, right? So the California-based wine company lost more than 2,000 bottles of wine, according to the government, city government, after basically illegally fermenting their bottles in the ocean.
Hey?
Yeah, so basically, I don't know if it's something to do with, like,
the temperature or something.
The pressure. They might be the pressure. You've got the, the currents.
Well,
don't know, the temperature. I mean, a lot of different aspects. So I think winemakers will say that's a really good place to ferment your wine.
Yeah, so why the government getting involved with something that you know what, was naturally done in the past and still should be naturally done.
What do you think? So that's because it's a really kind of like efficient way of doing it. That
I think it's just money grabbing.
Well, no, the officials said that it's kind of like a protected area, and obviously like any sort of,
can't you move it down the coast?
Different. Well, not exactly, but they've seized it because they found it there. Yeah, so they've placed their wine bottles in the ocean in an area probably where it's got reefs and protected species. They probably didn't ask permission. Yeah, they just came in and did it. Yeah. Now, although it might be an old age practice and stuff like that, and it's a really good way of fermenting wine.
Yeah.
They could have gone the right channels. They could have said, "Is there a part of the beach that I can do this on?" They go, "Yeah, you can do it up here, but you know, you might have to pay a bit of a tax for, you know, for maintenance of the ocean or whatever." I don't want maintenance of the ocean. We'll get a man in.
That's the thing that gets me, dog, because it always comes down to, well, give us this and I'll let you do that. But hold on. I could have done that in the first place without your permission, realistically. You know what I mean? And it's sort of like, it's like another tax for doing something that is universally supposed to be natural. For putting, that was the way they did it back then. That should be still the way they could do it now. Now, if thousands of people were doing it in the same area and there was like, you know, little battles and arguments about
what they're saying,
then supposedly needs to be something going on.
I'm assuming that, like, I mean, I'm not sure if there's any sort of like ecological issues with them doing it.
I wouldn't have
thought so. Now, obviously, if you were doing, you know, small batch wine, or you were a small kind back in the day, like we would, like you were saying, it's an age old
practice
and the way that they used to do it. Yeah, you were making small batches back then, whereas this is a California wine company. Yeah. So how many bottles of wine? They've lost 2,000 bottles. That's a lot of wine. There's a lot of crates and a lot of kind of work to get it down there. According to the authorities, they basically said that the wine was seized off about a mile off the Santa Barbara coast back in 2017. Yeah.
That's right.
Or a load was, but I think they might even be more recently. This is why it's getting up. But they said that they've lost the case anyway because, like, they didn't obtain the necessary permits from California Coastal Commissions. So they've lost it, haven't they? Never mind. I feel like the city... I mean, it's interesting one because I'm wondering where how much of it is to do with the ecology of the ocean, or is it, like you say, a bit of money grabbing?
I think I really do think it's because, look, things are going up in price.
You want to see the bottles. Really in fact, I'll post a couple of the pictures of the bottles because they're actually really cool because you've got actually mollusks and stuff growing on them.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, really interesting.
And, like, don't forget, if they all come expensive wines, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Now,
they could
you
be worth...
spend it, you're going to be spending giving them more tax to the fucking government.
Well, exactly.
But yet, you're going to be doing that, plus you just paid them a bit of money for putting it there.
Right.
Way realistically, you shouldn't.
Well, I've got one more little story before I let you go, because this does go quite hand in hand, because what would you have with your wine?
Oh, a bit of chicken or something?
A bit of cheese.
Cheese
and wine pies, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Cheese and nibbles.
Yeah, but that's more of a French thing, isn't it, really?
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's...
Well, you might think it was a French thing, but Italian as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say Italian. Because this was a story about... It's only a quick one, but this is a story of an Italian man who was crushed to death...
Oh, my days.
...under falling cheese wheels.
Oh, shit.
So this... Mate, you've seen, like, how big some of these blocks of cheese...
Yeah, I've seen the adverts of the Baby Bell.
I mean, it's actually really sad because he was a 70-year-old and he was buried within... a shelf in his warehouse. And basically the corpse created a domino effect, right? So there was a 70-year-old guy who's buried in the on a shelf in the warehouse,
right?
Yeah, this is crazy, right? And it collapsed or created a domino effect and brought down thousands of wheels of cheese. It took 12 hours to find the body.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
12 hours?
Yeah, so I don't know if he was... Was it... Right.
Yeah, that must have been a lot of small cheese.
Let me just get this right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm... He's not got... He was basically a collapse. Yeah, this chap has...
Gone and done his
chap.
Work and like...
Yeah, he was doing his
collapse.
Work. Why he was putting stuff on the shelf. Yeah, right. When it...
Collapsed,
right? The cheese come down.
Yeah.
He ended up like being covered in it. Like I said, it took 12 hours to recover the body.
Yeah.
Some of the wheels were reported to be 10 meters or 33 feet.
Fucking hell.
Seriously, this is what I'm saying. It wasn't like a small amount of cheese.
Like fucking tires.
He passed away, unfortunately. He was crushed to death by wheels of cheese.
Oh, shit, man.
How crazy is that?
He might have loved his work. But,
well, hope he did.
Yeah.
Have you got any news you'd like to talk about?
Oh, yes. Well, Friday. You know what Friday was?
Friday, I'm in. What? Go on.
Friday was hip-hop's 50th birthday.
50th birthday? Yeah, they're beating us. We're only on our fifth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. But they might slow down and we're just... catch up.
True that. Well, would you think hip hop's on the decline? Now, hip hop will come back.
Yeah, no, I think hip hop's I think it's stabilised, but like I'm hearing a lot more English bass. 50
years of hip hop.
Yeah.
So now, right, I mean I like talking about music, but do you know like the idea that bands that you were into when you were younger are now considered classic rock. I mean, is there a classic rap or like a like VH1, do they get like NWA on VH1 nowadays?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest.
I'm wondering because, I mean, is it got to the point now where it's like, You know, like we listen to the gold channels on the radio and it's like, yeah, you know, the old classics. Yeah,
you're spotting the ones that you...
Do you think like it's going to get... Obviously, it's going to get to the point where like some of the stuff that we were into, like the your hardcore rap and stuff like that, is now classic.
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it?
I always picture that when I'm old and decrepit, that
you'd
not
be,
that long.
You'd be there busting tunes.
Yeah,
like,
these playing
are
rap in the old
people's
home. You
think that's music? Yeah, you don't know what music was. Listen a bit of Dr. Dre.
That's
come
it,
back to me.
You know what I mean? Yeah, let's go and have a little boogie. Oh, my hip's gone again.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Come on, Doris.
Yeah, I think he's...
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. You know, you remember the words. This is it's classic. And you're like, Grandad, stop singing those oldie, timey, worldy songs, please.
I think it already, like, has started to get into that. And, like, I think for the last 10 years, it's been getting into that area anyway,
yeah,
to be honest.
True, hasn't it?
But it's like, it's good to... We've just got to... Because a lot of people now, a lot of artists now, copy a lot of the classics.
Oh, yeah,
just do, like, a different word.
Well, the thing is...
They used to do it back then as well, but they used to have more fresh
stuff.
It's
not about that. It's about there's a lot of covers. People will always kind of refresh a track because it's a good song and they'll try and kind of give it a new release of life.
Yeah.
I mean,
have
you heard the... there's a new version of We Didn't Start the Fire.
I think it's
Fallout Boy or something like that.
All right.
But basically, they've redone We Didn't Start the Fire. And it's all right. Yeah, it's not too bad. But if you kind of used, like, obviously modern news and popular culture events to...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, I always thought Billy Joel just kept adding to that every year. Anyway, do you know what I mean? Just
fun. Actually, I've heard it. Yeah, I believe it.
You have heard it, I believe. So I feel like, you know, it's always going to be modernised for the new youth or the new generation.
That's true.
So
it was like, all right.
And if a tune's a classic, it's a classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
as long as it don't get thrown
into... It can be
the
a really well-written tune, but then it's just not appealing to the ear at the moment. So it's like, you give it a jazz up and a new singer
80s,
doing it.
90s.
And then it sells again, do you know what I mean? But the thing is... You got to look at it like the reason why they do all these covers, because, you know, these record companies invested a lot of money in that artist when they were around.
Yeah.
And if they have the rights to the music, then it's just on a shelf, isn't it? So if they can kind of get squeeze it again for a load more dough, then why wouldn't they do
it's
it?
It's helped with the movies. He's helped putting the old classics.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So movies, owning rights to old classics that are going into soundtracks.
Yeah.
Regenerates popularity for songs. I mean, look at Kate Bush.
Really
smashed it with running up that hill. After the Stranger Things, she ended up getting to number one.
That's true.
Again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, you know, there you go. It's interesting. Have you any more news, or would you like me to
go for one?
Well, all right, I've got another story here. This is a story about, hang on. So this woman's basically been, gone to war. After, a French bakery in I think it's Florida, called her a cake thief.
All right.
So she's basically having a lawsuit against this bakery. They put a cake thief poster in the window with a photo. This is a thief. Yeah,
shame
so she made her way around the South Florida, and she heard rumblings of that she'd basically
been pointed out as a thief.
Yeah, so basically she was gone into this shop.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they've declared her a cake thief. She's now in a lawsuit, with them. Yeah, basically said that spreading rumours about her, saying that she'd stolen a cake.
No.
And it's turned into a massive big. She was actually, like, you know, put on this poster like she was a wanted fugitive. Like they put a wanted poster up in the cake shop. So obviously everybody who came into the shop was seeing this woman
pointing at her when
right
she's down
next
the road
to the cash register, declaring cake thief. The accusation, which obviously stemmed a bit of a rift between her and the cake shop, brought obviously a lot of stress and anxiety, obviously, to both parts.
Yeah, yeah.
But You know what I mean? It just makes me laugh that when people escalate things, right, by making a statement like that, naming and shaming or something. I mean, I don't even know what the situation was, whether she stole the cake or not. But actually, by saying that she did,
yeah,
and naming and shaming. So apparently, she made her way around South Florida. She heard a rumbling that she had pretended there was a crime. This is what you're saying, there was a crime. A 12-year-old daughter was taunted by other children in a gymnastic club. Says that they were... it's gone round the world, and obviously word travels fast. She is now responsible for an act of thievery.
Okay,
so, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, right. Was it all that worth a cake?
Well, I don't know. Was it?
Might have been really nice cake.
Yeah. Might have been really, really nice.
It was a French bakery.
Yeah.
So, how did you get a hand on a cake anyway? So, anyway.
Wow, yeah, that's right.
Crazy. Have you got any more news?
I have. Well, people on the beach of Spanish...
People on the beach.
In Spain had a bit of a chaos the other day on Friday because the tourists had their bags ransacked.
Go
while
on,
they
what
were
by?
There by boars.
Oh, wild boars?
Yeah, wild boars had just come in, little small ones just rammed in there. There's a video out there, I believe, on
oh,
YouTube.
Oh, we're getting into the animal section of the news here, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Yes. And then we also had a bear in Iraq.
A bear in Iraq?
Yeah, a bear in Iraq Airlines.
I thought you said he was on in Iraq.
Oh, no.
Like, on Iraq, like...
He should have been, but for somehow he got escaped the bottom of the airplane and got into where the passengers were.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, you got... Yeah.
Delayed.
Joking.
No, it was delayed for...
Were they in flight? Hours.
No.
Wow, that's pretty lucky then.
Yeah, if he was in flight, then it would have been, you know what I mean? Here's the pilot.
Well, I've got some... I told you we had bear news.
We did.
Here's another one. A bear crashes a Colorado wedding and raids the dessert table. Video on it on YouTube, 8th of August. A Colorado couple's wedding was, which started really nice, ended with an uninvited guest, a bear raiding the dessert table. Carolyn and Brandon shared photos and videos of their wedding, which didn't expect to have, like, you know, a bear.
Well, you wouldn't,
crashing,
do you?
The party. But that's not only, you know what I mean? There's been so many bear attacks. Is it actually bear season at the
it
minute?
It must be, you know. They must have been sneakily breeding and coming out now.
Well, Hank the Tank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bear behind the 21 home invasions.
Oh, right.
Yeah, has actually been captured near Lake Tahoe.
Oh, he's been jailed now.
So, yeah, 21 home invasions. The large black 21. Bear who believes to be the notorious bandit, hungry for picnic baskets.
Well, why not?
Authorities in the town of South Lake Tahoe have basically been on the lookout for a large animal since February.
Oh, yeah.
After the reports of one single male bear had been causing, like, loads of reports, like 152 reports.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Okay.
So, including 28 home break-ins, they refer to the animal as Hank the Tank.
Hank the Tank. Yeah. So look out for Hank the Tank.
But it turns out, obviously, this is just based on visual information.
Yeah.
Whether he was a bit hench, he's just a normal
size
bear.
There's no proof. Is there any video evidence?
What? That it was Hank?
That it was Hank. Someone else could have been doing it and blaming
Hank. Justice for Hank.
Yeah, it might be a Hank copycat.
Well, there was nothing taken apart from, like, probably... Food. I mean, there was probably evidence to say that it was a bear based on the mess it made.
Yeah.
So I would say Hank's probably... You know, responsible. If he wasn't responsible for all 152 reports, he probably had his fair share.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
You know, bears have that sort of behavioural pattern, do you know what I mean? Like, if they start going into one house, they'll probably go and get food.
Yeah.
They'll go to the next house because they'll assume that they'll get the same from that. So, that's, you know what I mean? But they are that. Why do you think that whole rumour about, you know, why do they go for camping and they say hang your food in the tree?
Yeah.
Because they're drawn to campers because they know that there's some potential for food.
Yeah,
you know, if it's easier than, you know, going out and hunting, then they'll have it.
Oh, yeah, if it's there on the platter, then you're going to take it, aren't you?
Poor Hank. Freedom for Hank.
Yeah.
Well, DNA testing actually confirmed that the bear was, you know...
A culprit,
yeah.
Ah, left his shit all around.
The former bear, it was a 64F, known as 64F. Well, they must have been
it's his jail name now.
No, they might have done tests out in the wild, you know, like, and got samples.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And must have been like on a database, and the DNA tested it and said, oh, we've actually got a record of this bear.
Right.
It's called Bear 64F, which is a female.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. She might have been. Could she have been pregnant?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Needed a munch.
Yeah.
But yeah, bears everywhere at the minute. So if you do live in the States, obviously just watch out for bears.
Yeah, and if you live in China, I'd watch your pockets.
Why?
Especially if you're near the airport, because a fella got pulled over, and the only reason he got pulled over was because he wouldn't do eye contact with the authorities. So they pulled him over, questioned him a little bit, and asked him to empty his pockets. And guess what they found in his pockets when they emptied it? Try 14 snakes.
What?
14 snakes he had in his pockets.
What was he doing with snakes in his pockets?
He was bringing them in illegally.
Oh, right. So he was like an animal trafficker.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. That's shady, that. I mean, the fact is, like, you know, how do you get away with having, like, snakes in your pants?
Oh, well, the best bit is, it looks like there's no charges been given to him either.
What? Did they confiscate the snakes?
I'm assuming so. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, so there's no charges being...
No. No charges up to now have been...
You are a very naughty boy. Please do not bring any snakes into the UK. Thank you very much.
Bet he does it again.
I bet he does it. Anyway.
Definitely.
Do you know, AI, we're literally doing a segment on AI most weeks now, but, like, AI is... big, it's everywhere.
It is.
Even in meal preparation, meal planning.
Oh, what?
This is madness, mate, honestly. So, this is a supermarket.
All right.
That's gone. We want in on this all AI thing as well,
right?
But with disastrous consequences. So the supermarket AI meal planner app.
Yeah.
Basically suggests recipes.
Oh, right.
To help you kind of, you know, plan your day, plan your meals accordingly, you know what I mean? Your busy lives.
Yeah.
Pack and Save's savory meal bot.
Right.
Which cheerfully creates unappetizing recipes.
Yeah.
For customers. Would actually create recipes that would create chlorine gas.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Toxic, man.
I mean, have you ever whiffed chlorine gas? It's not pleasant.
No, it's not.
This is a New Zealand supermarket chain. Yeah, basically, was using AI to generate meal plans using a process some unusual dishes.
Okay.
God knows what it was kind of coming up with, but it was generating AI recipes.
Right. That's a bit fucked up. That's kind of like a lab thing. That shouldn't be like out there until it's been tested and, you know, over tested as much as possible.
Well, it recommended customers' recipes for deadly chlorine gas, poison bread sandwiches, and mosquito repellent roast potatoes.
Oh, well, that's all right for the potatoes, but not for you.
No, I mean, I wouldn't eat them.
No.
But basically, I mean, was it trying to sell other products and it's just gone, well, these are the recipes that would go well with... these are the products that would go well with based on the fact that it's AI and doesn't know any better.
Or could it have been hacked?
Maybe.
There could be some nutter out there hacking to, you know, do these kinds of shit.
Well, they were advertised as a way of for customers to creatively use your leftovers during the cost of living crisis. But obviously, like, by popping in the ingredients or, you know, like, telling them what you've got in or whatever.
Yeah.
But you could also hit an auto-generate meal planner.
Okay.
Yeah. So the auto-generate meal planner or recipes would along come up and basically be recommended to you. And this is what was happening. It was recommending people these basically dangerous meals. So this is the pack and save. They've basically, what was it? Oreo and vegetable stir fry. That was another one they came up with.
Oh, shit.
And just loads of other crazy stuff. So, I mean, but obviously, you know, mosquito repellent roast potatoes.
Yeah.
Don't sound very nice.
No.
When it comes to, you know...
Sounds,
you know,
like there's chemicals been just thrown over it or exactly. in it. Which... I suppose, well, in certain foods you could transfer to make some shit. Yeah. Well, obviously, the proof's in the pudding.
Well, one of the recipes, like I said, the chlorine gas one, one of the recipes dubbed aromatic water mix would actually create chlorine gas. The bot recommended the recipe, the perfect non-alcoholic beverage to quench your thirst on a refreshing sunny day.
I wonder if someone's actually done it.
Maybe. Don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's gone national, this app in New Zealand, then...
And they've got some...
Oh, my days.
What is it?
Whatever they're doing about it, the spokesman for the supermarket said that they were disappointed to see a small minority have tried it and used the tool inappropriately.
That's...
So I'm assuming...
That's bullshit. Nah, blaming the customers.
It's not really, is it? It's not. I mean, I suppose in a statement they said that the supermarket would keep a fine tune in the bot, to ensure that it's safe and useful.
So it's still being out there.
Yeah, it's out there, but they're kind of looking a bit more at it. In a warning notice that appears on the meal planner now, it warns that recipes are not reviewed by human beings. So obviously they're saying the company doesn't guarantee that any of the recipes are to be eaten as a complete or balanced meal.
Yeah, it's supposed to be there to make a balanced meal.
Yeah,
please.
Exactly. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's just an epic fail and they should just abandon it.
I totally
just go, oh, you just keep using it. We've put it out now.
What's wrong?
Can't be asked.
Yeah. What's wrong with actually, you know, you can look on the internet. You don't need some other machine telling you how to make something or want to make something.
Exactly. We will rely on like a computer to tell us what to do now. It's like we need...
Exactly what happened. Or even go back to the old books. Well, there you are. Do you want a recipe? Go back to some old food.
I've got cookbooks.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found this next story, right? Yeah. This is concerning.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, it's kind of concerning, but kind of not at the same time.
Yeah.
This is a story about a man who was bitten by a stray cat. Yeah.
All right.
And he was infected with an unknown
a virus. Bacterium.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the virus. This is a cat as well, mate. I've stroke cats in the street all the time. So, and this was in the United Kingdom. So basically, the bite of a fluffy cat in the street can be more dangerous than you might think, apparently, because in the United Kingdom, a 48-year-old man was petting a stray.
Yeah.
And it ended up biting him.
Oh,
getting him and clawing him, biting him on his hands and all the rest of it. He basically was like a bit taken back by that.
He went home.
The next day, his hand had been swelling up to the point where his hand's like twice, three times the size by this point.
Than a dog's.
It was, you know, pretty bad. He's took himself down to the emergency room.
Yeah.
The pictures that are there, they're quite horrific. I mean, obviously, he's quite swollen and really quite sore. You wouldn't expect off a cat scratch or a cat bite. But obviously... He's gone there, they've given him a tetanus, cleaned up and sorted out all the wounds.
Yeah,
basically give him some antibiotics, shot him up with tetanus and antibiotics and sent him on his way, right? Yeah. With a course.
Yeah.
A few later, he's back at the hospital. Basically, his pinky finger and his middle finger had swollen up like to ridiculous size.
Oh, shit.
So painful, he said, and enlarged... his forearms were all red and swollen.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So the doctor basically suggested, they basically had to remove, loads of damaged tissue around the wounds.
Oh.
Also, give him three different types of antibiotics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was sent home with more oral antibiotics, right?
Fucking hell.
So, obviously, this time, thankfully, the treatment worked,
Right.
And he made a full recovery. So that's lucky,
that's
right?
That's really lucky, yeah.
But the thing was... Back at the hospital, the doctors are busy trying to work out what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
So when they've analysed the microorganisms, yeah, they've basically found out that it's an unrecognised form of it's like a streptococcus type organism, right? Which, if you don't know what that is, it's what gives you... It's the germ that you get from meningitis, strepho, bacterial sort of pneumonia.
Or your nasty little
pink eye.
Yeah.
Those sort of illnesses, yeah, right? But when they looked into it, they basically found that this bacterium isn't one of those, right? And they don't actually know what it is, right? Yeah. So it turns out this bacterium belongs to another genus of germ, yeah? I can't even say it, a globius cellular, right? Yeah.
All
right. It's like nothing we've seen. We don't have it, right? Yeah. It's a brand new one, right? Yeah. So they've tracked all these for years and years and years. Do you know what I mean? The report basically says that, you know, that this new strain was discovered in the UK and reported, that at least some antibiotics have got a handle on it. Yeah.
Up to now.
Well, they've found that antibiotics we know about can sort it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just interesting that we thought we knew all of the bugs out there, and this is a brand new one.
Yeah.
Really, it's quite scary, but the cat bite and a scratch, then the punch of the skin obviously can cause 66,000 various bits of shit getting into you.
Oh.
Overall, but well, I don't know.
We
I don't
are
know
living
if that's
in
true.
A lot of germs, if you think about it. We're kind of lucky we can live.
Oh, wait,
quite
sorry, I do apologise. So, cat bites and scratches have caused 66,000 visits to an emergency room, actually. That's what it means.
Well, yeah, I nearly went to one the other week.
Did you really?
One of my fingers, it wouldn't fucking heal.
It gets kind of... Well, I've been to the emergency room with a cat scratch.
Yeah.
Scratched my eyeball, didn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, I had to get iodine in my eye and everything.
Get fucking taken out?
Well, obviously, cats are normally safe. If you've got a cat, you'll be all right. But I think, obviously, a stray...
Yeah.
You don't know what it's been kind of doing or whatever.
Your neighbour's cat,
Well, it's a weird one, but because obviously, like I say, it's just the fact that there's this new disease has just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
What the heck is it? It just goes to show that these things can just turn up. But the guy obviously had to have, fucking flesh removed, and then they started doing the tests on that to see what it was, and they were like, we're stumped. We don't know.
Anyway, brand new.
Well, we might ask Kira about that next week.
Yeah, actually.
See if she knows anything.
That's a good idea, actually.
Well, right, got one last story. Have you got any more stories?
I've just got one about...
NASA news, is it?
And then NASA, yeah, I've got...
Oh, go for it then, I've got...
What the email, I got the thingy that I looked at.
Go for it.
Quantum AQ. It's supposed to be... I saw an advert out for it, and I had a look at it. It looked a bit weird. But Elon Musk was on there, supposedly.
Oh, Elon Musk. Oh, this is the video you sent me, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
So my first impressions of this, right? So basically, what you're saying is this was a video of Elon Musk, and what was he doing?
He wanted to bring out this quantum AI that actually helped families.
It's for stock market investing, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
So he was basically saying...
He's already done it in America. He just wants some British families.
He wants investors to come and jump on it, and you can make a load of money and all the rest of it.
But
the video was supposed to be Elon Musk giving this speech saying he's doing it for the families and all the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
But when you sent it to me, I went, that kind of does look a bit deep fake, bro.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, right. I've kind of been looking into it.
Well, I did. Yeah, I signed up to the register, and I got a phone call just before you rang me, and they were saying maximum you pay is £250. You get it. All it does is it's an investment.
You sound like you're selling it here, bro.
I would not go
for it because at the end of the day, what I think was happening there is they were trying to look for people who had a lot of money to invest and try and take advantage of it.
Yeah, because one of them
the fact that they were using deepfakes I mean, I've seen these kind of Facebook scams for years where they'll use, like, you know, a well-known personality to try and gain the trust of people to try and make them think, well, so-and-so's doing it and they're recommending it. It's usually Martin the Money Expert.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Loads of those on Facebook where Martin, the
money expert, come out with it about
said, "Oh yeah, this is a financially sound investment," and people have lost thousands and millions or whatever.
Yeah.
So the idea of using a celebrity to kind of back a scam is not new.
Yeah.
But what is new is using AI and deepfakes to make it even more legit. And now you've not only got a photo of Elon Musk, now you've got a video of Elon Musk giving a speech about how great this thing is.
Yeah.
And it's not the real Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And people, if they don't know better, will get taken in by this stuff.
That's so true.
Obviously, if you watch the video and you kind of like, you've seen a few of these, you can kind of see a bit of where
it's kind of like the background to the face. It's sort of, there's something there.
There's a lot of kind of stuff that you can kind of you can do voice AI now as well. So
You
can get Elon Musk's voice on Elon Musk's face and get him to say anything. So just be careful, guys. I'd say
if
you see anything like that, maybe question it a little bit.
Yeah,
because obviously Taylor actually almost got took in by it.
Well, I didn't because he was testing him with some of it.
He was undercover. He was doing that's probably why.
They asked me like if I've got any savings or anything like that, and I just said to him like, I've just got rid of it. That's why I'm after like trying to get a quick book. So So I think through that, because she said, "I'm sending you an email. Is it this address?" Like, yes, correct. Never received nothing in the junk, nothing anywhere else as well. So I think I've put them off because I've told them I got fuck all, mate. You know what I mean? There's no point.
Yep, yeah, that's it.
Hopefully, because I've got to watch out as well for repeats of these coming in as emails. So I've got to watch that as well now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, which hopefully I don't have to.
Right, okay. Well, I've only got one NASA story tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, it's basically we're sending a crew of astronauts to an Earth-approaching asteroid.
Okay, all right.
So this is basically called Prospects for Future Human Space Flight Mission Near Earth Asteroid. The plan is its origins in a speech developed by President Obama at the Kennedy Space Center in 2010. Obama remarks were meant to quell the firestorm that was created when they cancelled the the Constellation project. They've decided now to send this crew of astronauts to a comet. Why they're doing this all of a sudden? Yeah, well, they're saying it's been going on since 2010, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's an Earth-approaching asteroid. We've all seen Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah. President Biden, after he assumed the office, made Artemis his own, a crew, and has been selected for the Artemis 2 mission, which is going to take place in 2024.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot going on there. The asteroid mission is it's going to be pretty much kind of like
going to see how much gold we can get.
I think it's definitely going to be. There's definitely something on.
There's aliens on the fucking thing.
But you know what I mean? Why they go into this rock? I just don't understand why they want to do it. But they've got DART, which is the NASA funded thing. Or they were basically Trump and Biden administrations have put money into this, which is Earth approaching asteroids, where they can detect and destroy, right? So why all of a sudden have we got to send a manned mission to this?
I know we should actually go to the moon instead of going to these asteroids, because at least we've experienced at least 2 hours on the moon.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? So we've got more experience on there, but I think it's got to be all about money, because like I was saying last week about an asteroid that was like trillions of trillions of pounds worth of like minerals, and we would like to grab it and bring it in because it's okay. got all that investment there, or money basically.
All right, fair enough.
Which makes helpful people.
Well, that's it for me then. What have you got to talk about?
Russia.
All right, what are Russia up to?
Well, Russia hasn't sent a space probe out since 1971 to the moon.
Okay.
And it's sort of joining up with China to try and land on the south pole of the moon. And it's also, at the minute, in a race. It just left Friday. It's in a race with the Indian probe that is planning to do the same thing.
I would have thought Russia have got more pressing things going on.
Well, yeah, but then it's a big space race again at the minute now.
Yeah,
it's
true. And I suppose he's trying to get a bit kind of like... Take the public's attention away. Do you know, for the Russian public?
Yeah,
you know, totally. He's thinking, oh, we'll do this. It worked for Canada.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, why can't it work for me? Exactly. Yeah, so probably that's why he's done it. Yeah. But, like, the idea that they're trying to get up there, what's at the south pole of the moon?
It's going to be the best place to land because the chances of water being there, then you've got fuel and you've also got oxygen, so you could actually live there. Because there's a plan on, because there's a massive race on at the minute to try and land.
Oh, yeah, you want to colonise the moon, so because that's the gateway to the universe, isn't it? If you can get a fueling station on the moon.
Yeah, and then... especially on top of water. Bang, you've got, you know... You've
well,
got
this is it. It's hydrogen, isn't it? There'll be hydrogen-fueled, so I'm assuming that water will be the...
The surface has actually got...
Very important.
A chemical around it that actually we can use for fuel. So the actual moon itself is a massive fuel station. It just needs processing and, like, you know, putting through the...
Yeah. Marks. Oh, there you go. Well, there you go. That's the episode, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for another episode. Yeah, our fifth year.
Yes.
We'll be going for another bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Loads more to talk about. Maybe a little bit longer. Right, anyway.
Well, another 50 years or another.
Don't say anything. We'll just keep doing it until we do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for everybody, like I said, who's ever been involved with the show.
Yeah,
it's been a ride, honestly. Getting better. So let's keep going. If you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go over to the website at neverastraightanswer.co.uk. You can find all the links, basically for Spotify, iTunes, all of those things. We're on all of the social media networks. Yeah. All you need to do is Google Never a Straight Answer Podcast. You will find us. Yes. No doubt.
Yeah.
All the support really means a lot. If you support us on one of the subscription channels, that's ace. Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy all the extra content that we put out every week.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much isn't it? Why am I also in then?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just tired. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's the end of the show. We'll be back next week. We've got a guest in next week, so back with a really good episode next week. Yeah. We'll have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, we will.
Besides each other.
Yeah, they teach us.
But, if you want to email us, you can email us at neverstraightanswer@gmail.co.uk. We're on Twitter at NASA_never, Instagram at neverstraightanswer. TikTok at Never a Straight Answer. All of those places.
We are.
We'll see you next week. I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
Peace.
Out.